Out to Allen, kicking across field for Campisi. Now what will happen here? It's a try for Campisi. Yes!
And technically they're very sound as well, and that's a good combination. Barb Jones, Ella, misses outliner to Gould. Gould goodingly to Slack. There's a real chance here for Campisi. That is one of the great tries of the tour. David Campisi's fifth try of the tour so far. Well, Campisi's played at fullback as well in international matches, and that's a long kick, but it's Robertson. A light fading here as Robertson goes over halfway. Robertson feeding outside to Milne. The pass wasn't a good one. Great intercept. Now it's Ella. Campisi once more. This is brilliant rugby. Tyneman on the goal. Tackled by Dodd. It's Campisi going. I don't think John Beattie can catch it. And there is another marvellous Australian try.
Almost up to the French 22. Barb Jones. Liner. Liner steps inside his man. Magnificent break by Liner. Trying to feed outside there to Greg. It's going to be a try for Campisi. That's the world record. David Campisi.
So many great memories over a 101 test career for the Wallabies. But 59 is the magic number today. David Campisi, it's your birthday. Welcome to the show. Happy birthday, mate.
Oh, hi, Matt. Long time no speak, mate. It's been years.
I know. It has. I think the last time we caught up was in a Qantas club somewhere, and we got quickly straight into rugby.
Yes.
I reckon it was. I think it was. And thankfully, it was an early morning one. We didn't get stuck there. Happy birthday, mate. What are you up to on your birthday?
Thank you. Well, believe it or not, it's absolutely bucketing down here in the Gold Coast. We've moved up here since August, but it's a typical tropical weather, mate. You know, it's hot one day and then it's rain the next. So yeah, it's pretty good, actually.
You're just taking it easy. Look, we wanted to have a chat with you, and it just happened to coincide with your birthday, because there's also a book that's being released soon which features you and your incredible career. But before all that, of course, you'll be part of the Stan Sport team and Nine team when the Wallabies take on Japan. So let's get straight in to the Wallabies in particular. So it's Saturday afternoon, and we've also got the USA hosting the All Blacks there. What have you made of where the Wallabies are at the moment? They've now got the momentum going that's been missing for so long. The clunky wheel that was sort of stumbling along is now starting to roll.
Yeah, look, it's not easy because, I mean, there's a new generation, new coaches, different style of rugby. It takes a while for, the players, especially when you get coaches that have never coached before. I mean, coached you before. So it is very difficult. I think there was a lot of talk about, they're going for four straight wins. I don't think the coach and the players really think that way. I think it's just going out there. It's another opportunity to play for your country. You just got to get better and better. There's a lot of players that have turned over during the season, which is great. But unfortunately, you've got guys like Corabetti, who's probably one of the best players, not going on tour. So we don't really know why. But I think that if we had four or five really good wingers, he probably would have changed his mind because he's probably guaranteed a spot the way he's been playing. So competition's really good in international teams because you've really got to be on your game week in, week out. So, they're very young. They're going to have a pretty tough tour. It's different when you're playing the All Blacks constantly. You played South Africa and Argentina. Now you're playing a different style of rugby in Europe, and the four home unions, all they want to do is win, so they don't really care how they play. I think it's good at the moment. Japan's going to be a tough one because you should win. That's the hardest thing at this level, and if you take that into the game, you're going to find yourself, you might struggle a bit, which is not really what we want at this stage.
Marika, I think I'm pretty sure Marika had a baby just recently, and they're staying back for that. I want to just go further on that point about, you've now got your four wins, sure, with the South Africa and then Argentina, of course. But before that, the three losses versus New Zealand and the fact that this is a young team, if they came out, Campo, off the back of those losses against the All Blacks and then went down again against South Africa and Argentina, do you think with the youth in the side, that could have been a real bad whack? Like, that could have really knocked them around. So essentially then what I'm saying is that the Springboks and the Argentinas, those games came around right at the right time.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, you talk about the All Blacks. I played them 29 times and won 8. So, you know, and that's not a bad record, believe it or not.
That's pretty bloody good, actually.
Well, it is. Because back in those days, remember, there was no South Africa. We didn't have many tours, so we had to play them constantly. But, yeah, look, I think that helped. But also, you know, South Africa hadn't played for a year. So, you know, there's a lot of ifs and buts. But, you know, I mean, the thing is, a young team playing against the world's best team, like in New Zealand, constantly. And you know, I think that Super Rugby sort of had a not a great effect on our players, you know, because every game we were just getting flogged, you know. So when you get together and you play, maybe if they'd played South Africa and Argentina first, and then they played the All Blacks, maybe things might have been different. But again, it's in history, Matt. You've got to just have a look at the games. You know, the more confident you play, and I really think that Quay Cooper offered a big difference in that first game against South Africa. He's been around. He didn't do what he went. Just steadied the ship, and it just demonstrated that these young players need older, experienced players around to sort of have a bit of guidance. And I think that's what's been missing for a couple of years.
What have you made of Dave Rennie's style and Dave Rennie's game plan and how it's transferred out onto the field?
Yeah, well, I'm still trying to find out what sort of style we're trying to play. And that's because, you know, all coaches, if you have a look, you know, at the moment, it's all seemed to be very similar. You know, we went through this pod system, which, you know, as Bob Dwyer said, it doesn't work. You know, but because New Zealand used it, everyone else in the world used it. You know, we had a style in our back line. We had a style of confidence, the passing, the backing up and that. And, you know, I'm still trying to understand where we're going, where we're going to be. You know, are we going to follow everyone else, or are we going to try and stick to a style of rugby or play a style of rugby that we used to play? You know, I mean, we had great players like the Ellers. I know it's a one-off, but, you know, I think we just need to find a bit of our culture. I mean, there's a lot of talk about New Zealand culture and history. What about our history and culture? You know, we won the world first team in Australia to win the Rugby World Cup twice. Mm-hmm. So we've done something really good, but we don't seem to find out how we did that. We seem to just move on and, you know, and bring people from overseas who don't know our culture and understanding. So, you know, I think it's still a way off. But, you know, our Super Rugby teams are also vital for the future. You know, we need these young guys to come through, and there's some really good players coming through, which is so exciting. And we just need to push those guys through, and tours like this are vital for those young guys to learn.
Yeah, the talent's there. I don't think there's any question about that. The belief starting to come back in the national team, and the desire is there from those now at Rugby Australia to keep this game and keep lifting it and keep building it. So hopefully the only way is up. I think it's November 2. There's a book coming out called Campese, The Last of the Dream Sellers, written by James Curran. Now, Gordie Bray has said, finally, here is a book that does this one-off player justice. How do you go, mate, about reading about yourself?
Oh, jeez, I tell you, it's very scary. It's probably scary for my kids, you know, because I said, Dad, but you're old now. I mean, that was like 30 years ago. Look, it's about stories that people don't really know about. It's about growing up in Queanbeyan and not really being accepted by the establishment. You know, and there's a lot of things talked there about, like the British Lions 80-92s, how much criticism I copped after that game. And, you know, it was like, it went on for weeks. And just talked about the journalists, how they kept on going on, you know, but where they interview a couple of the British Lion players and they couldn't understand the flack I copped as well. So it was really about the ups and downs, about playing. You know, you've got Bob Dwyer, Alan Jones, and they're talking, Nick Farr-Jones. You've got journalists from around the world. And James is a political writer. He's not a historian. He's not actually a rugby writer. So there's a lot of quotes. There's a lot of information there from historian storytellers about some of the comments. And he's done a lot of good research about sayings and about a lot of journalists, what they've thought about me as a player and a career and as a person. And really, so it's something totally different. You know, it starts, obviously, coming from Queanbeyan, and the finish is in 96, my last test. So there's a lot of things there that people will look at, and probably they probably might remember the articles, the criticism, and really about being accepted in the world, but not really being accepted in Australia as a player, which is, you know, something that's very, very different.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to that read. I think it's apt that James, as you mentioned, he's not a, you know, he's not a writer, he's not a journo. He's a professor of modern history. It took a professor of modern history to work you out, Campo. Hey, mate, we've got to go. Happy birthday. I hope you enjoy your day, and we look forward to your work on Stan Sport, mate.
Thanks very much. Just quickly, it's you can go into my website, www.davidcampeges.com. I've got copies coming this week. Anybody wants a autographed or signed personally, go onto my website, order it. I know it's come out on the 2nd of November, but I'm over in Europe, so we're getting books done now so I can send them out before Christmas.
Excellent, mate. I'll repeat that for our listeners. www.davidcampese.com. Get an order in and check out the book by James Curran. Good on you, mate. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
There he is, David Campese. So go to that website, grab a copy of this book. I'll be doing that. Some really, really good insights. He was hailed as the Bradman of rugby by former Wallaby coach Alan Jones. Others called him the Pele of rugby as well. And Gordon Bray, like I said, says, Campese was simply the best. Finally, here's a book that does this one-off player justice. Great to catch up with the one and only Campo.